My dear precious brothers and sisters, it's my privilege to minister to you, and I believe I also respect all the precious blessed saints who have been contributing their messages, and it's truly a blessed time to hear so many of you, of your wonderful exposition on the scriptures. So today I would love to speak about a man, that is David, a man after God's own heart. Yesterday we saw Daniel, the man Daniel, and what were his beautiful qualities that we acknowledged, and we realized that truly the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Daniel had that spirit in him. Now before I actually, sisters, let's bow our heads and focus your loving kindness and mercies, and as we look forward for your grace, we believe, Lord, that your presence is here and you take charge over every situation, Lord. Anoint us, both the speaking and the listening of your word. I commit everything and every needful thing at your feet, O Lord. We ask this grace in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. To see the Spirit of Christ in them, or the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. So today, as we look into the life of David, introspecting David from the way God had chosen him from his very young age. Now we know that knowledge is a spirit, intelligence is also a spirit, wisdom is a spirit, counsel is also a spirit, might is a spirit, and faith and understanding is also a spirit. So today we see how this spirit works wonderfully and admirably in the life of David. Now, we will begin by taking one scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 2. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from the reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Saul, I have left him now. My spirit is no more working with him or through him. But you go and anoint a new king. And when you would anoint a new king, God did not actually tell Samuel who that new king would be by his name. You know, you go and hunt for a person whose name is David. He never said it that way. You go to the house of Bethlehemite, and in the house of Bethlehemite there were 8 sons of Jesse. And each of them, from the elder, they went and stood before Samuel, and they passed by, and Samuel did not recognize them. Their identity was not of God. And he asked him, are these thy only children, only sons? Oh, there is one more. He is just a boy, and he is among the shepherds, the sheep. So call him. Saul realized that he is the one that is chosen of God. Now, God commands to anoint. Remember, David was young, David was goodly looking, he was cute face, and many things a person could appreciate. But yet, he was not anointed. And God commands Saul to anoint him, that he would be the king of Israel. Now, this is in the 16th chapter. God expresses his desire. And when he expresses his desire, he is made known. This desire is made known to Samuel. And Samuel was still afraid that whether if the king hears it, he will kill him. But the Lord has his own ways. And In this first point of what we see in the life of David, it is the anointing of God that makes a new beginning. And when David was anointed, just the next day or maybe a little while later, Jesse, his father, sends him because there was some rivalry within the Philistines and they were challenging, and there was Goliath that has now risen, and his father sends him with some food to be taken to his brethren and see what is the welfare of the war and what is happening, get the good news. But when David goes with the food, we see it in the 17th chapter. It's important because when the anointing comes, remember, he is potentially anointed to be the king of Israel, and his family, his father Jesse, had seen him. But what a task that he gives him, that you take this food to your brethren. Now, just like the prophet said, spiritual food in due season. The moment the Lord's Spirit anoints you, you need to be getting horrocious upon the food that is provided for us for that due season. And David comes in contact with that food. And David, as he takes, we see that there is a commotion and no person is there to meet the champion of the Philistines. And as David looks on, he says, his spirit, he has been anointed, and his spirit quickens him and puts him into the forefront. He stands before Saul and says, I will go to fight with this giant Goliath. So, it all because, you know, there was food in due season, that which strengthened him. You know, when we are first anointed, don't just go to the battlefront in whatever sense, but get acquainted with the food in due season, or the food that is the Lord has provided for us, especially for this Laodicean church age. The third point that what we see, now David has been victorious over Goliath. There is great jubilation because the mighty Goliath has fallen, and David is now been victorious, and all hails to the God of Israel and to David for being a great hero for that time. And that brings him closer to the house of Saul, or the palace of Saul. And as David gets close in the house, he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan that loved him as his own soul. Now, there was a bonding, brotherly bonding, brotherly love. You know, as we see the Spirit igniting in us, or raising holy standards, there has to be brotherly love. The pyramid can only bond with that brotherly love. We may be having precious and beautiful revelation. We must be having the real manna for the season, the precious food, the spiritual manna in due season, and yet we still do not have a bonding with our brethren. Then there is still lacking something in us. Now, for the sign of his bonding, we see in the third and the fourth verse, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Now, what a covenant, what a sign, what a love, what a significance. Jonathan just did not say, okay, you're my good friend, I love you, I know that I'll be always happy with you. But Jonathan made a covenant. You know, and amidst of all, he stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garment, even to the sword and his bow and his girdle. He gave it to David. He was a prince. Jonathan was a prince and David was his friend, but he loved him as one soul. So when the bride, when the body of Christ, when we each individual as members in the body of Christ, we must first acknowledge now, after we have taken off the spiritual food in due season, we must be able to have this kind of a brotherly love in a covenant, that there is no difference, there is no barriers, but we are bonded in the love. That is the spirit of prophecy, that one cannot do with the other. We all need to be one another. There may be so many people listening to me and watching to me, but I have not even seen your faces, neither I have known you. We may not have so closer acquaintance, but there is a bonding of brotherly love. And I appreciate this platform and appreciate all of the zeal that each one of you have. But that's not ultimately what happened. As David made progress in the house, he began to prosper in his house, in the house of Saul. And that brought about David's marriage and his marriage with Michal. Now when we come, as God anoints the bride, he gives her the food in due season, he brings a bond of brotherly love, and then as we prosper in his word, in his kingdom, God brings forth or prepares us for that great battle or for the great marriage. And that was the marriage to Michal. And our bride will be apt to be married with the Lord, the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And as now finally we see this, after this 18th chapter, we come to the 23rd chapter. Okay, 23rd chapter, you can read from 13 to 19, but right now, for the time constraint, I would just see. Now David is in a position. David now, because of the women of Jerusalem, they all began to acclaim and hail David. Saul has killed his 1,000, but David is 10,000. And that got a spark of jealousy and envy in the heart of Saul. Now, he begins to chase David all his life. Now remember, Saul was a king. He had many affairs of being busy in the kingdom, taking the political situation, taking the financial situation of the country, taking the development and so many things that he was actually engrossed. But he does not focus on any of those things, but all his focus is now chasing David. Each of the information, where is David? Find out, I want to get him, I want to destroy him, I want to kill him. And that jealousy was so vehemently strong in him that he forgot all his kingly duties. Now, we have a paradox here. David was anointed by Saul, and Saul had also anointed Samuel. Samuel had also anointed David. Now, David and Saul are both anointed. And we must understand that Saul was after the life of David to kill him as the earliest. But as we see that we are in a place where the anointing cannot fight the anointing. The anointing cannot fight the anointing because both of them believed in the same God. But God gave David the opportunity to take David, and as he was there, David stood and he did not harm Saul. The next day he came up on the mountain, on the high pinnacle of that mountain, and he said, "Hey Saul, are you listening? God had given me the opportunity to slay you, but I had held my hands. I would not lay my hands on the on God's anointed. My brothers and sisters, this is actually something that we need to morally acknowledge. This is something that we need to actually build and linger our faith in. Anointed cannot fight the other anointed. My brothers and sisters, I believe we have a thought for today, a food for thought, and may we ponder, and God would speak to your hearts about the wonderful things that what we have learned about David, a man after God's own heart. There are many wonderful things still in his life that we could always learn, but I just come here at this junction and thank and appreciate God for these few thoughts that I could place in them before you. God bless you, and bless you exceedingly great. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.